a powerful God. How many know that he's a powerful God? Say
he. Amen. Amen, family. Can you hear me? He is a powerful God.
Yes, you are live.
Amen. Good evening, everyone. I love that song that he just played. He is a powerful God. And I think that we sometimes when we're going through our situations, we forget about how powerful he is. We forget that he is greater than our situations, greater than our circumstance, greater than any report you can get from the doctor, even greater than the pink slip that you get on your job. That is how powerful he is. Because if you say that, you know, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me, that means that that strength that you're talking about is the power of God. So you can overcome any situation because that same power that God has is also in you. So I appreciate that song. It reminded me as it was playing that very same thing that I'm just telling you how powerful he is. So I don't need to cry. I don't need to fret. I don't need to stress. I serve a powerful God who has given me that same power to overcome. I am so excited again. Each week, this builds for me to be able to share this information. And on today, we're talking about three major tests that God put us through. So I am just hoping and praying that I, only through the anointing and the Spirit of God, be able to explain this to you, and you're able to receive, not only receive, but also understand, and from that be able to pass the test. So, as always, I definitely like to thank Pastor E for being so gracious and so kind for giving me this space and this spot. One day I'm going to talk about a topic, being a friend like Jesus. Being a friend like Jesus, you can already understand that, you know, Mama used to tell us not to friend everybody. Everybody ain't your friend. But somehow we grew up and we lost sight of that, and we think everybody is our friend, but I want friends like Jesus. And, of course, I would definitely include Pastor E in that. It was a great example of being a friend. But let us start with a word of prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you and praise you for this day. I magnify you and I glorify you, O God. Lord, we thank you for all things. Thank you, Lord, for the sun rising and the sun setting. Thank you for all the provisions that you made for us throughout the day, O God. Lord, even thank you for the things that came up against us, O God. But, Lord, you gave us the power to be able to overcome. Thank you, O God, for all that is on this broadcast, Lord, which means that you have given us our next breath, O God, that you have given us our sight and the activity of our limbs. Now, O God, I ask, Lord, for your Holy Spirit to be ever so present on this broadcast, Lord. Be ever so present with me, O God, as I begin to, Lord, give them a word from you and only from you, O God, in the mighty name of Jesus, that it does exactly what you have set out to do, that it goes to each and every heart that you've already purposed before this broadcast for it to touch, O God. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray, amen. So what I quick want to do, as always, I want to recap, why is God testing me? Why is God testing me? And the first thing that you need to know, that no matter what the test was, so far we've already done, I believe, 7 tests. So no matter which test it is, the basic 5 things that God is trying to get out of all the tests is, number 1, attitude adjustment. He's always trying to adjust your attitude. And as we have said, it always has to be an attitude of love. It always has to display the love of God. 2, he's trying to purify you, always trying to show you yourself first, your weakness, your impurities, the things that you need to get rid of, not just work on, but get rid of. The 3rd thing is to produce faithfulness in you for towards him, faithfulness to God, faithfulness to his word, faithfulness to your prayer life, faithfulness to your fast life. He wants you to be faithful because in faithfulness also lies your victory. So once again, faithfulness to God, not to man, not to a church building, but to God. Fourth thing, to separate and show those who are called. Also to separate and show you who's for you and who's against you. Some of them tests are coming not just to show you, but also to show you other people as well. And then the last thing, always the tests come to do is to equip you, always to give you more tools to add to your artillery, to go against the enemy, to go against flesh, and also to be able to be tools to be used to help other people going through the same situation. So also to recap, again, we've done 7 tests so far that I've spoken on. I've talked about the time test. Number 2 was the word test. Number 1, time. Number 2, word test. 3, character. 4, motive test. 5, servant. 6, wilderness test. 7, misunderstanding test. Y'all know I really cranked on that one last week because I was in that test for about 3 years. But again, one thing that I also said and I want to share is that don't think that I'm going through 14 tests and you're like, okay, well, I'm just in, God is only going to put one test on me at a time. No, boo baby. You might be in 2 or 3 more than that at one time. And that was the amazing eye-opener for me in studying this lesson because I'm like, my God, it just seemed like, you know, at one point in time that I was going through so much, but when I was able to identify the test that God had on me during that time, then I was able to understand why he had me going through those certain situations. And trust me, my season for release is coming, and that's why I had to go through all those tests at one time. So let's continue on because I do need to give this time and I need to give each one justice. So this week, I'm only going to be talking about 8, 9, and I believe 10. And I'm only going to need one more week to finish up because the other ones are kind of a little bit short. Because these right now that I'm about to talk about is some serious tests. So get your pen, your paper ready. I need you to get some Kool-Aid on this one. We're going to skip tea. We going to the Kool-Aid that has a half a bag of sugar in it because you about to be really wilding out on what it is I'm about to talk about with these tests. So number 8, are you ready? Number 8, patience test. Patience. Hear me real good with this one because, again, we hear certain words and we only have an understanding of how we were taught what that word meant. Okay? Hear what I'm saying. I'm saying the word patience, and already everyone went to wait. Patience means wait. Wait. Don't move. Be still. Hear me good on this one. So let me just explain it, okay? And I hope and pray that somebody call in once they be like, man, the light bulb went off on that one when you broke it down. I'm about to show you where the patience test is different from the time test. Because remember, I already talked about time. So now I'm talking about patience. So I'm not going to be talking about the same thing using 2 different words. Okay? The time test was to test how you will react or will you jump ahead of God when nothing is happening. Ain't nothing moving. Ain't nothing going on. Okay? Time test. How are you going to react? How are you going to respond? Are you going to get impatient and jump ahead of God when ain't nothing going on? Remember, Abraham, spoke to Abraham at 75. By 11 years later, age 86, Abraham was like, ain't nothing happened all this time. You told me this 11 years ago. I thought that when you told me at age 75 that it was going to happen a year later or 9 months later. Because I've been in there with Sarah for the last 11 years and ain't nothing happening. But you told me I'm finna have a son. Okay, God, that's all right. I got this. Let me go on and handle it. And remember, he stepped ahead of God and went on and had Ishmael. God said, no, that ain't what I said. Abraham went through another time test, still trying to go in there, creep with Sarah. Not creep, that was his wife. But still going in there with Sarah. Still ain't nothing going on even after age 86. Ain't nothing moving. It wasn't until age 100 that the promise came. So understand, nothing is going on. Patience is derived from the Latin word, I hope I said it right, paternitia, paternitia, which means trouble and suffering. Patience is derived from the Latin word that I just spelled for you. I ain't going to try to say it again, which means trouble, suffering. The test of patience is, can you tolerate pain, trouble, and suffering without getting upset, without getting angry, and without quitting? Lord Jesus, I think I'm still in that test now. But anyway, can you go through without complaining? Can you suffer without losing self-control? Can you stand in tribulation without causing a disturbance to others? Throwing temper tantrums. Oh, hear me. Patience is not the absence of patience. Mean everything is going on in the patience test. Remember, time test wasn't nothing moving. Patience test, you can't catch a break. Everything going on, everything moving, everything flipping, turning upside down, everything. That's the patience test. How are you going to handle all that pain, trouble, suffering, turbulence, hurricanes, monsoons? Oh my God, the bottom dropping out, the ceiling falling down. I hope y'all feeling me. I don't know what else. That's the patience test. Are you going to quit? Are you going to give up? Are you going to complain? Are you going to cuss folks out? How are you going to handle this? And I like it said, are you going to do it without causing disturbance to other people? Man, I tell you, I always tell y'all, and I can't tell y'all no, I'm the only child. And if you can imagine an only child throwing a temper tantrum, and trust me, I will disturb the whole everything if I'm not getting my way. I will disrupt people's sleep. I will disrupt people, everything. Not now, back then, sorry. I will disrupt some stuff. I did not care. When I was hurting, oh, somebody else was going to be hurting with me. But now I can't do that. Now when I'm hurting, I go find a corner and sit down somewhere and just try to be still, because I know what can possibly happen when I'm going through so much turbulence and stress. When I tell you this year has been nothing but medical issues, starting March of 2018, I'm still going through something now. I've been through a surgery. I've been through them not knowing why I needed, you know, at first until they cut me open. I've been in the hospital recently at least about 3 times for my blood pressure. They couldn't get my blood pressure controlled. I've been back and forth with all kinds of stuff. And now the doctor called me the other day, was like, hey, we got to send you to another specialist. You need to get another test because you might need to have another surgery. When I say turbulence is going through my life right now, and Valoris right now can cause a huge disturbance in the atmosphere. But God said, how are you going to react? Are you going to complain about it? I didn't even, I told my bishop, I said, I done went through so much with all the other stuff, I don't even have the energy to even give this new diagnosis. I'm about just going to sit down and let God do what God do. I'm not even complaining no more. I'm not upset anymore. I'm not getting angry. All right? So, biblical reference for that, you know, David had great patience with Saul. He was put through the patience test with Saul, is what I mean. Every test, every trial, near-death experience with Saul, David went through it with Saul. And David did not complain. Saul was on him at every, David couldn't catch a break. Then if Saul wasn't after him, then the other people was after him, came and stole the women and the children. And then if they wasn't after him, then his own men threatened to kill him because they came and stole the women and children. And then if it wasn't that, then his wife got something she wants to say about the situation. He went through the patience test, but David didn't complain. David did not lose control, even when he could have. Remember when he had a chance to kill Saul? He still didn't lose control. He could have been like, you know what? You is about to, you get on my nerves, and you causing all this for people to be against me and me to be running for you. He could have just killed him. But he said, nope, I'm not even going to do that. I'm going to practice self-control with this situation, all right? Don't quit in the patience test. Please don't, because going through sickness, and then the kids start acting up and going crazy, and then the job went crazy, and then, Lord Jesus, all right? That was test number 8, patience. Remember, patience ain't about being calm. Patience is about when everything is going on. How are you going to respond? And we have to respond with a positive attitude. Remember, that's one of the things he's trying to show us. Are you going to have a love attitude, especially a love attitude to God? Or are you going to get angry with God because of what's going on? Patience, what is he showing you through that test? Test number 9. Oh, it's building. This is going to get juicier. Number 9, frustration test. Frustration. Help me, Holy Ghost. Frustration. When you go through obstacles and setbacks that appear out of nowhere. Hear me again. I'm trying to get through this because frustration test is when obstacles and setbacks appear out of nowhere. You going along just fine and dandy. Even if you got a few little hiccups, you know, this, that, and the other, you're like, okay, that's the, you know, okay, my check's short, $50, you know, this, that, and the other, all right, I'll work some overtime and I'll make that up. Or even if you can't, so you're like, okay, I can go through that, all right, well, you know, the kid kind of getting on my nerves a little bit, but it'll be all right. You know, some things you like, okay, I can see, you know, it coming against me, but I'm maintaining here, I'm good, I can see my way out. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, you lose a loved one. Out of nowhere, you get sick. Out of nowhere, they all of a sudden want to downsize your department, and they tell you they gotta let you go. Out of nowhere, you lose your car. They steal your car, break in your car. Out of nowhere, thieves breaking in. Out of nowhere, these things happen. These are things you cannot move or don't know when they will move. When the frustration, when obstacles and things come up like that, you just looking at it like, I don't even know anything about you. You just came from out of nowhere. What are you here for? How long are you here for? You have no control over this whatsoever. It was interesting because when I can only speak from experience. I had a scar down my chest from my surgery 7 years ago. I'm a keloider, so the scar keloid. And I was just fine with the scar. Most people are like, you know, don't you want to go get that taken off? No, this is my war wound, okay? I'm good with it. And 7 years, and this was by, in May was going to be turning my 7th year of survival from heart disease. And in March, the scar kind of started being irritated. Well, on the start, actually, on last stop, maybe something bit me from, you know, being outside or something. And the scar started irritating me, and it started getting red, and it got infected out of nowhere. And they looking like, well, how did this happen? I'm like, I don't know. You tell me. Like, how does something that, you know what I'm saying, is just scar tissue actually get infected? It's not flesh like that anymore. So I was a mystery to them from, it really started in September of last year to March. And so then they thought they had got it, you know, they opened it up and drained it and thought everything was fine. Okay, fine. Now leave me alone. Let me go back to my life. Let me go back to work. Let me go back, you know, whatever. And it just kept getting infected after infection. And I was on medication after medication. I was on this. And so I was like, okay, when is this going to end? This just came up out of nowhere with no explanation. When the doctors can't even explain it, you know that's a frustration test. And so they was like, okay, well, we probably end up having to take the scar off. Okay, fine, let's do it. I'm cool with it because I can't keep going like this where it's just kind of, you know, oozing on its own. And so then now I go through an insurance problem. Well, insurance ain't going to pay for it. It's what you mean they ain't going to pay for it? I'm on the phone with I mean, it just was one obstacle after another that I did not see an end to this situation. And I didn't think that it was even going to get resolved. I thought I was even going to have to quit my job to get rid of that no good insurance and just go on state insurance or whatever the case may be. You figure that started in March. I didn't get the surgery until the end of July. But all that time, guess what? I lost work. I lost pay. I almost lost my mind. You know what I'm saying? It just was a lot when it comes to frustration. Because, again, it's something that comes up unexplainable. But guess what? Oh, guess who has explanation? God. Man can't explain it. So it's like encountering a bad traffic jam out of nowhere on the freeway. You just going along. You're like, wait, hold on. Why am I in a traffic jam? Like, it shouldn't even be traffic because something up ahead didn't happen. But all of a sudden, you just encounter that. You can't turn to the left. You can't turn to the right. And no exit is close to you at this point. You're just sitting there. You don't even know where to even go. Don't let it, and then on top of that, don't let it be a hot day in the traffic jam, kids in the back hollering and crying. You know what I'm saying? The conditions just get worse and worse and worse on a frustration test. This test comes to readjust your priorities. Listen, it comes to readjust your priorities. It's very interesting because when I even look at the medical situation that I went to, I'm like, how did that come to readjust my priorities? For real, though. You understand what I'm saying? And it's interesting because after I went through that surgery situation, I wrote a book that's going to be coming out called The Strength of a Woman. And in there, I write a chapter just about that, about being in a traffic jam and being frustrated. Well, what God comes to show you is that you got too much on your plate. You're doing too much. I have to slow you down. I have to sit you down because you're doing too much. Frustration comes when you have too much going on. It's very amazing how you look at, if you look at right now, why you frustrated, you're like, oh, I got to take the kids and I got to go to work and I got to work all that and I got to go to school and I got to do this and you're frustrated. If I ask you, what are you frustrated about? You're going to name me off at least about 13 different things that you're frustrated about. And I'm going to look back at you and say, you got too much on your plate. Something has got to start giving, or else you got to start reassigning things to other people that are more than capable to handle the situation. Or else you got to start telling people, listen, I can't do that for you right now. But let me see. I'll get back to you when I can. Or that magical word, no. No, I can't do that. No, I don't have any more room on my plate to take on anything else. I'm sorry. No. They ain't going to die. They're going to be all right. Tell them no. Paul in 2 Corinthians, so to back that up with scripture, in his flesh, he talked about his frustration and how he had to get his priorities in order. And that's 2 Corinthians. Oh, I had the chapter. I'm so sorry. Probably the whole chapter. 2 Corinthians. He did a lot of talking about his frustration. But what'd he say? But guess what? I count it all done. Which means, you know what? After all this that I think that I'm going through and all that has happened to me and all that I'm thinking about, you know, about me, guess what? I'm finna just let all that stuff go. I'm finna take that out. That it don't even mean nothing. It's not more important than my relationship with God. When God starts putting you through this test, that means that he's trying to show you that you're putting things above him. Other things are taking more priority than he is. All right. So now on to test number 10. Test number 10. Now I got to hit you with some tea. Hopefully it's flavored for this one. Because this one is called the discouragement test. Discouragement test. This is when you begin to lose confidence or hope in yourself and in God, in God's provision, and in his call for your life. Discouragement, remember, D-I-S is the first three letters. It comes to just this everything about who you are in God. It comes to disrupt, dis-ease, dissatisfy, whatever this, basically this everything about God in your life. Discouragement is birthed the heart. It's very interesting. When I looked at that, because even last night when we were talking on Man Up and I was talking about having expectation, and having an expectation is you having a belief that something is going to happen. And when that does not happen, then now you are hurt. You're discouraged. And discouraged is birthed from the heart. What broke your heart? That's the first question. If you're feeling discouragement, you have to really take an evaluation and say, what broke my heart? Who let me down? What didn't go my way? You need those answers because you need to find the source of what brought about you losing hope. Because what? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, which means you can't never lose hope, because that's what faith rides on. That's the key to the ignition for faith. You got hope. Man, faith is like, come on, let's drive this car. Let's put this in action. But when you lose hope, you begin to lose faith. Discouragement time coming, but how are you going to respond? Again, what broke your heart? Or who let you down? Or what didn't go your way? And I need you to take that to God and say, God, listen, because what's in the flesh births the flesh. So not saying that it's a wrong thing, because if it was a person that let me down, I'm discouraged in my heart, but I'm letting it manifest through my flesh because I'm showing it through my actions. So now I have to say, God, listen, this person hurt me. I don't want it to go any further than this. I'm telling you about it. Help me with it because I don't want my actions to begin to manifest in the flesh of my discouragement and I start losing hope in you, losing hope in people, and definitely losing hope in the calling that you called me to. This is when you must pray without ceasing. This is when you must pray without ceasing. If you cease to pray, you will cease. Discouragement comes to take over. This is, I don't even know how to describe it. It's almost like a volcano erupting. And you know how the lava just begins to ooze out and it begins to take over. It begins to burn everything in sight. It doesn't have no limits. It don't have no boundaries. It doesn't care who you are. It doesn't care if you're a man, woman, child, house, tree, animal. It has no limits. If you let that volcano of discouragement erupt, it's going to take over your thinking. It's going to take over your actions. It's going to lead you into depression. It's going to lead you into hopelessness. And finally, just giving up and quitting. You can't do that. This is when you need to draw on the joy of the Lord, who is your strength. I can't tell you that you're not going to have discouraging times. I wish I could tell you that. When I got another call this week for another doctor's report, could have gotten discouraged. My volcano could erupt and say, listen, God, again, are you serious? Really? But I didn't. I kept praying without ceasing. I was singing songs. I've been worshiping. I put in my headphones. I keep my mind focused on God. I let him be my strength. Because just how fast you even feel the discouragement is how quicker, how faster it could take over. 1 Kings chapter 19, Elijah became very discouraged. Elijah felt like he was alone in what he was going through. That's another part. Discouragement will make you feel disconnected from the world and people, and you feel like you're the only one. I'm the only one going through this situation. Don't nobody understand me. God had to tell him, you know what? I got 7,000 other prophets set aside. You good. There's others out there. You're going to be all right. I can preach this. There are plenty of scriptures that tell you you are not the only one going through. You're not the only one going through sickness. You're not the only one going through having bills due. You're not the only one going through marital problems. You're not the only one going through single problems. The only one, baby. And don't let discouragement disconnect you from the people of God and or God. And definitely don't let it disconnect you from yourself. I don't know if anybody ever been there before, but I surely have. I've been in a situation that disconnected me from me. It was like there was two people. You didn't know who you was going to get back. Ooh, from day to day, you did not know who you was going to get. God is trying to get you to trust him. Confess his word over this situation. Don't hide from him. Seek him. Press past your feelings and stand face to face and confront that situation. I told the sickness, I said, listen, I trust God. One saying that we have at our church is like, don't tell God about your problems, tell your problems about your God. God, like what you're telling me for, I already know it's there. Now I need you. I gave you the authority to speak. I start speaking. Have mercy, God, on us going through these tests. I need you to, I'm like feeling somebody pain right now, but I need you to understand God is not trying to kill you. He's not trying to weaken you. He's not trying to set you up for failure. He's trying to strengthen you through these tests, because Job said that we're on this earth for just a few days, but it's going to be what? Full of trials and tribulations. It's going to happen. As I start to close, excuse me, and I need you guys to, though anybody that have anything to say, dial one and start getting in the queue of this conversation for any questions or comments. But what I would like to do, excuse me again, what I would like to do is, because again, I talked about some three major heavy hitters: patience, frustration, and discouragement. And again, while you're dialing one, please, and I hope somebody has a comment or a testimony that they want to share, I really want to go into prayer for you now. I want to say a prayer before people start hanging up on the line. Because these three tests, again, are major. And we have been talking to, and I'm talking to the men, the women of God, leaders, saved, unsaved. I need you to hold on, and I need you to have strength. So if you can please agree with me just for a few seconds before I open up the line, because I really want to pray for all of us, not just you. I'm not praying for you. I'm praying for all of us to have strength. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you and praise you. And God, you're giving me a heavy heart right now, because I firsthand understand when you're going through these tests that you feel as if there's not going to be an end. You feel as though you're defeated. You feel as though that, God, that you're mad at us. We feel as though, God, that the world is against us. But, Father, what I'm asking right now is that you begin to touch the hearts and the minds of the people that are listening to me right now. And, God, from us hearing this word and from this prayer, anyone else that is connected to them, I need the prayer to extend to them right now, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Those that wanted to quit and give up, give them strength right now. Undergird them right now, God. Lift them up, Father, in the name of Jesus. Those that even want to go all the way to want to commit suicide, God, I need you to touch the heart and the mind right now, God, in the name of Jesus. You love us, God. You're not trying to hurt us, God. You're trying to get the best out of us. Just like any teacher gives a test in school, it is not to harm, but it's to help and to elevate us to the next level, oh God. You've given us the strength. You've given us the tools. You've given us the power. You've given us the anointing. You've given us the Holy Spirit, and you've given us your Son, Jesus Christ himself, who has the authority in his hands, God, and he's given it to us to be able to speak to these situations that we can pass these tests. Touch your men and women of God. Touch your leaders of God, especially the leaders, God, that may be frustrated with ministry or the people in ministry or getting discouraged, or God, their patience is running thin. God, I need you to help them right now. Please, God, no laborer left behind. No one. Cover. Keep. Send angels, watchmen, to guard and protect the hearts and the minds of your people while they're regaining their strength. Lord, you said that no weapon formed against us will prosper. You didn't say it wasn't going to come, so it's going to come. So help us to have on the full armor of God. Help us, God, to be able to stand when these attacks come. Help us to be able to stand when your tests come. Help us, oh God, in the mighty name of Jesus. God, I thank you and I praise you. We're going to rejoice and we're going to lift you up through them all. We're going to praise you through it all. We're going to worship God. And all we can say is hallelujah. If all we can do is just wave our hands, if all we can do is just say thank you, Jesus, even when it hurts and we say thank you, Jesus, even when the tears are falling, we're saying hallelujah. Even, Father, when we don't have nothing else to say, God, if we wave our hands, you already understand what that means. So, God, I'm waving my hand for someone right now who can't even speak, Lord. Who's tired, frustrated, hurt, in the name of Jesus. I magnify you and I glorify you because, God, I know that it is so. And I know that you will do it because, God, you've done it for me, God. And I'm asking you to do it for someone else. Do it for everybody that's on their line. Do it for their family, their friends, their church, their congregation. Do it, oh, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. I thank you and I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Please dial one right now. The lines are open. If you have any questions or comments, concerns, there's anything that you want to say, we encourage you to come in on the line. Pastor, are you there for me?
Yes, I am. I had to get myself situated. We're multitasking tonight.
Amen.
Well, good evening. I have been blessed. We could have just stayed on the patience test right there because it's something that I think all of us deal with. I know for me, that's my number one stunner. I can get by a lot of things. It's the patience thing for me because I really do work hard to have it now. But God is a God of His time. And so I'm growing in that area. I thank you for really pinpointing that thing. Discouragement, it's just everything you touch really kind of started with that first one, that test of patience, because that's when you don't have the strength to wait and to hold on to God's time. Now frustration comes. Now depression comes. Now those other things come. So I'm glad you started there. That's where you had me at, and we could just kept on going there. And I bless you for that. Want to open up the lines. I see you have two callers waiting. I know Minister Terry is also there, too. We want to bring in Minister Carolyn first, then Evangelist Virginia Valentine, and then we'll bring in Minister Terry second. Good evening, Minister Carolyn. How are you? Are you dealing with the test of patience?
Good evening, and
yes, baby.
Yes, so okay. Much for the prayer, and I didn't hear the first two. I didn't even know it was something on tonight. I was just sitting here in my car. Something just said down the prayer line. I know Pastor Yahweh's posted, but I haven't been on my page, and I'm stuck on the discouragement. It's like I was going through something before I even called the line, so I was already a little up, and it's like a gang of stuff is coming at me, and I'm still on the grind, on the hustle, and trying to make things happen with whatever I get. If I get $5, I try to do right by it. And I went somewhere to my own neighborhood today to give the guys in the back lot something to eat that someone had given me. So I knew they were there, and they hang out and they drink all day. And earlier today, I had been looking for a letter from Pastor Ian. I thought that something was suspended, and then I found out it was revoked. And then I called somebody, and they said it's $50 or it's $200-something. And I'm like, that was bothering me because I'm like, where am I going to get this money from? And then my car got hit, and I'm like, where am I going to do this? So while I'm standing there, it's like I'm still thinking about doing Halloween stuff for the kids at like five different places. And so I was asking them, because I grew up with them, you know, why don't y'all donate some candy? I ain't asking for money so I can make grab bags for the kids. And this one dude said, I ain't got no money, Bubbles. He said, but what if I give you a sack and then you can help me and I can help you? And then just for him to say something like that, it like really pissed me off, and I really wanted to check him in a way that I used to. And then with telling my sisters, like, I couldn't talk to her because she was like, you idiot, why would you go over there? You and the devil's there. That was the devil's there. But I thought that God pulled me out so that I could go back and help you. So that's why I go back and just to help the neighborhood. But just for him saying that to me, knowing about my addiction. And I heard the lady in church the other day say something like, you know, when you go around, people supposed to see your light shine. And if somebody's not going to church, what some people do, they come. But I don't want to be a sheep in wolf's clothing. I want people to see a light. And apparently, he didn't see it. For him to say something like that to me, and my first thing was
No. Hold up. Let me. No, wait. I have to come in on this because that's why he said what he says, because he saw the light.
Thank you, Pastor.
Don't let somebody dim your light out by their negativity to light. Because remember, if you notice, the Bible says that Jesus is the light, but those that are in darkness can't comprehend the light. You look ignorant to them. You look weird to them. You don't make sense to them, even though what you're saying to them should be the right thing to do, Carolyn. But no, your light is shining, and people want to put it out, especially people that don't understand the light. And it's not even his fault. He's ignorant to the light because he's in the life of darkness. He doesn't comprehend it. And I don't want you to give up or get discouraged. I want you to get strengthened that your light is shining, because every time something comes against me, I get a little stronger, y'all, because I say I'm doing something right. Because it's coming against me. And if it was all easy and I could just go around the old hood, and believe me, it's some stuff I could tell you testimonies that happened to me daily that would make me quit. And I won't. And I won't quit. I don't even let it even enter me. And you're going to get there. But let me tell you, it's your light, the reason why he did that. It wasn't the darkness, because you'd have been asking for a hit, or you'd have been asking him for a sack, or you'd have been trying to post up as a sheep in wolf clothing. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Be encouraged tonight. Your light is shining, girl, and then people that see it is trying to put it out. But we bind that.
Amen. In the name of Jesus. And like you said, baby, listen, the devil is going to always be on his job. We just got to stay on ours. I don't care if I hire you at McDonald's and I hire you for fries, just stay right there. Just stay on your job. Don't move. Don't try to, until God shows you and gives you more strength to move into other areas. But, baby, he put that in you for a reason, because part of it is for you to go back and minister, and part of it is your test to strengthen you.
Yes.
I got to
share this testimony. I have to share this testimony because I'm in my hood all the time. And people know me in Compton. They know what I'm doing. But I had talked to some homies that used to be in the game. We used to be in the game together. And they was like, man, you know, you need to be put up. And I'm like, what you mean? This is a whole different game. I said, first of all, I did check him. Now, did I check him to the point where I had to put my hands on him? No. But I checked him to let him know, bro, you can't buy me. You can't even invest in this. I'm not looking for your money to come and help me do anything, because first of all, your money's no good in the kingdom that I serve now. So it does take a time to, you got to stand up and you got to speak out, let people know, don't ever come to me like that again. So now when I go to the hood, there's certain people don't even address me because they know what they'll get. Hey man, come to God, we can talk. If you're not, go ahead and stay across the street.
Mm-hmm. But and you'll get there. And you'll get there, baby. Promise you. I'm 17 years plus, and these tests, sometimes I get weakened by some of these tests, but I know how to get back on the wall and get back on my faith to get my strength in order to make it through.
Well, I love your transparency. A lot of people would not get on here and tell that they just made a bad mistake. By trusting people instead of standing on God. But see, by you confessing your sins to one another, guess what? God has already forgiven you for number one. And number two, now you can forgive yourself. And number three, we can support you. Because I'm going to tell you, when I see you face to face, why you didn't call me?
Oh, wait.
But, you already told off for yourself. You know, the first phone call you're going to get is why you didn't call me. Why'd I have to wait to hear this on the broadcast? I should have known about this already. I would have been in L.A. already.
Don't call Pastor Eli, Jesus.
But, I just drove off. Yeah.
No, you're doing great. I can't congratulate you enough of your
Amen.
Consistency
mm-hmm.
to let that light shine. Don't let it stop. Don't let it stop. Evangelist Virginia Valentine, we got a couple more minutes. We want to make sure we get the woman of God in tonight. Evangelist Virginia mm-hmm. Valentine, you're live on, what is the name of this show? Oh, A Now Word. Good evening. Okay, don't hang up. Just dial 1 again. And I think your mute is on. We'll bring in Minister Terry until we get you on there. If you want to hang up and call back, I'll bring you in without you pushing 1. Mm-hmm. Minister Terry, welcome to a now word.
A now word. Yes, this has been a now word, Pastor E, Evangelist Virginia, Mr. Carolyn. But you know what, Pastor E, you gave some awesome tests here tonight because that one started it also. I got to say, Pastor E, with that was a patience.
Ooh,
and I tell you, I have patience, and that patience
can
only
can you hear us, Evangelist
Jesus.
Virginia?
Yes.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, we
yes.
can. Just stay right there. Don't touch no buttons. As soon as
Glory
Minister Terry is done, we're going
to
bring you in.
I'm going
to
only be a minute. Yes, I'm going to only be a minute, I tell you. But,
ooh, but
I tell
is
you,
a
these,
night. This is awesome.
Isn't this a night? These tests,
oh, this
they
is
come
a night,
it.
Lord Jesus, Lord
yes,
Father.
Lord. And you know what? Minister Curlin came on. I thought about something when Pastor Reed said. You know what? I was telling Minister Curlin, I was listening. She has so many she's trying to do for the Hallelujah Night for the children, and trying to get everything together. But I heard Pastor Reed say sometimes we can do more than what God intended us to do. So we
yeah.
have to, like she said, she has some of that, and ask for someone. Person help. She can't take it all on her own, you know. So
Amen.
I pray for my sister because I knew in my spirit something was going on because she would be on Wake Up, Get Up, and Move Your Purpose this morning on Facebook Live, and I was looking for her, you know, along the seeing everybody
mm-hmm.
comment. So glory be to God that she's okay. But like Pastor E, she said, when they come at you, yeah, they're going to come at you. But it's mm-hmm. how you handle. No, I don't do that no more. I don't get down
Amen.
Like that no more. Ooh, it's a new
Amen.
Me, you know, so glory be to God, the test will come at you. And Evangelist Virginia, good to see
yes.
you on the line. Love you all,
yes.
family. God bless you all.
God bless you.
Amen.
God
all right, Evangelist Virginia.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Good afternoon, Pastor Dolores.
Yes, ma'am.
How are you?
I'm wonderful, ma'am. How are you?
Well, praise God. I hear you speaking tonight. I hear you talking about the test.
Yes,
more
ma'am.
Than one test. You give so many names of the test. And then
mm-hmm.
I'm going to stop right there. And I want to say, Melissa Callum, why didn't you call me?
Wait, let me
Callum.
Bring her back in here. Hold on. Let me get her
I'm
back
so
in.
I'm so glad I called in tonight. You guys have a smile on my face, and I feel so much better. Melissa, I'm going to call you. Yes,
why
ma'am.
Didn't you call me? Why didn't you call me? I'm listening
so
at you,
sorry.
And I can feel your pain. I can feel your hurt. And just
mm-hmm.
like the man of God say, you are a light. You are the light of the world. And you need to let your light shine.
Yes.
Let your light shine before men so God can see your work and glorify mm. him in heaven. You are a light. A light that sits on a hill that cannot be hid. You are the light of the world. So let your light
mm.
shine. Just like Pastor Dolores said, it's a test. It's only a test. But let your light shine, sister.
Amen.
Let it shine and stop that crying and let your light shine. You
Amen.
Gotta let your light shine. Now you need to lift your hands right now and say, I'm gonna let my light shine.
Oh, bless God, I do. I let my light shine.
Let my
light
shine.
Go ahead and let it shine.
Amen.
Let it shine. Let it shine.
Amen.
Let it shine. So men can see your good work and glorify the Father in heaven. You are not walking in darkness. You are in the light. When Jesus went away to be with the Father, when he was in the world, he said, I am the light of the world. But he is no longer in this world now. We are. He said, we are the light of the world. A citizen on the hill. You are a city. And you sitting on a hill. And you cannot be here. Go ahead on, sister.
Yeah.
You're going through a test. You know the songwriter says, it's only a test. It's only a test. And I thank God for you. Stop crying and lift your hands and glorify God.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I want to say to you, Pastor Dolores Brooks.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm listening at you tonight. And I'm listening at you talking about what you're going through. I'm listening at you talking about the test. Different types of tests. And let me say this. As long as we are in the world, the Bible says we're going to have tests and trials.
Yes, ma'am.
But be of good cheer.
Yes, ma'am.
Cheer up. Cheer up. Because we have overcome the world. We have overcome the devil, the demon, and all of his evil spirits. You're not the only one going through a test.
Oh, amen.
Yes,
so many tests. And we're going to go through a test long as we are here in this world.
Yes.
That's right.
God
That's
said,
right.
Test. You're going to go through a test. A test.
That's right. Amen. Hallelujah.
Sickness, disease, all of these things are going to come against us. I don't care how holy you are. I don't care how faithful you are. I don't care how anointed you are. Things going to come against us. Y'all hear me?
Yes,
things
amen.
Things going to come against us. But we got like you said, Oh, shoot,
Pastor Valora. Pastor, just call her Pastor V.
As you just said, sister, you're talking about a test. You talked about the doctor calling you back, and they want to see you again. But guess what? Keep the earplugs in your ear, and you keep on praying to God, and you keep
Hallelujah.
On trusting God, and you watch when God moves. You watch he's going to move, and you watch what he do. We're going to trust God, but can God trust us?
Oh, my God.
We're going to trust God, but can God trust us? Hallelujah.
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 Bless you, woman of God. We got you. We got you on the line tonight. Yes, hallelujah.
Yes.
It's dynamic to have this conversation and to encourage one another. The Holy Spirit is moving right now, wherever you are, no matter if you're live, no matter if you're listening to the archives later, no matter if you are on the online right now, the Spirit is moving. You can lift your hands, touch the hem of his garment, and become a whole right now in the name of Jesus. I decree, I declare that your freedom is right here for you right now in the name of Jesus. This has been great.
Be like the woman with the issue of blood. Be like the woman with the issue of blood. Just touch the hem of his garment.
That's right. Yes.
Touch the hem of his garment, Pastor Dolores Brooks.
Yes,
and when you go to the doctor, they're going to be amazed.
Thank you.
They're going to be amazed. I was laying here listening at you talking about what all the doctors said and what all you've been through. You're not alone.
Yes, ma'am.
You're not alone, my sister. You keep trusting God and you keep praying and you keep doing what you do. You do God.
Just keep
you
preaching.
Do God. Do God.
It ain't gonna be room for nothing else.
Yes, Lord.
Yes. 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 occupy your space with the things of God, and you can't have nothing but the results of God. Ooh, somebody ought to write that down. Ooh,
come
hallelujah.
On now. Say that again. Say that again.
Say what? I said it so fast, I got to listen to the archive. No. I'm serious.
Amen.
It went so fast. That was an anointing word right there. Mr. Terry, I bet she know what I said. She write down everything. Mr. Terry, what did I just say?
You said occupy yourself with the space of God. You won't have nothing else, but no room for nothing else.
See, I told you that's my ride or die right there, boy. I can always pull her in. She got good notes.
Amen.
She take great notes, and she could definitely be aware of that. I don't know if you guys ever noticed that on Wake Up, Get Up, Move in Your Purpose. Minister Terry and Minister Monique be rushing, maybe fighting to get the comment in there. Well, they get scriptures in there. They get all of it. Oh, but it's just an awesome thing to have you guys on the team. I bless you. But while the team of believers are here together, I just had to ask this question because I've really been not paying attention, but it's just out there. When did Christian pastors and leaders find it okay to go on Facebook and pray for God to let them win the lotto?
What?
Is that godly?
No.
I mean, I'm confused because I didn't see five or six different pastors that I know get on there and say, Lord, give me that $12
billion. No. And was they saying it jokingly or were they serious?
Nope. They bought the ticket. Okay, let me put it like this. You sitting there on a live video with the ticket in your hand, and then you ask God to give you the money. Are they playing or are they serious?
Okay, now that's serious.
Anything you do on Facebook is serious because it's your intentions. Whatever you do on Facebook, this is social media. I don't care if you're playing or what. You have to take it serious. I mean, because that's a million plus billion people can see and read you, and they take and face forward what you're putting up there. So whatever you post and whatever you're doing, it's putting you, even if your congregation looking at it, well, do you want them to go around saying your pastor is trying to play the lottery and then telling you something about loving God and money? You know,
no,
that's
no.
Right.
Because look, when they see you, now they feel like they're going to go get them 10 tickets.
Yes, you know. What they do, you know, if they wouldn't have did it, but you're sending out the wrong message as leaders.
Lord.
That's the thing, as leaders, you know, and if it's somebody in your
we have got
in your
slack. We have got too slack on how we honor God. That's not honoring God. Because God going to get you on your secret stuff. But, man, why you got to put it out there like that? That's not honesty. That's really degrading God.
Yes.
I had to get that out there. That's been burning my spirit, so I feel better now. Y'all let me get it out. Something's wrong with that picture.
Listen.
Yes, it is.
We can talk about that and a lot of other stuff like GoFundMe.
Hey, look.
You
want
to talk about GoFundMe?
Look, we will be talking. Let's talk about it Friday. We're gonna talk about how GoFundMe.
What's the topic already?
We already talking about how you trying to steal people money for stuff that you can do on your own. My God. All you gotta do is go to work. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, we're gonna talk about some financial stuff on Friday night. We can also talk about voting. We want everybody to listen in on Friday night. We're gonna get real down, dirty with it. That we gotta be hard about getting our people to go vote.
I voted.
I did too. My cousin called me the other day. He said it was 3:00 in the morning. He was coming from work. He said, "Man, I mean, it's something I've never seen before." I said, "What is it?" He said, "Dude, there's 300,000 people downtown Houston waiting on Trump to come and do a rally for voting." He said, "Wasn't a black person out there? Wasn't a Hispanic person out there?" No. I take that back. There were some Hispanic people out there about immigration, but it was only about 7,000. That's 300,000 people who said they wasn't worried about work. They wasn't worried about nothing. They went down there and voted. Think people don't like Trump. You better watch the numbers that's coming out there. We need to be serious about this thing. We're going to be stuck in the same situation that we are now.
Tell me about it. Because, like you said,
that's Friday. Let's talk about it because, you know, that this is something
right.
serious because this election coming up on November the 4th, that one coming up on the 6th, November the 6th in California, this is major. This sets us up for the next presidential.
You know how Hillary had more ballot votes, but Trump
right.
had more electoral votes. This is the election that counts the electoral votes. Y'all better
right.
learn some about politics up here. We can't be
right.
dumb to this stuff Friday night.
And you know Pastor Reed?
What you talking about?
Pastor Reed, you said something. She said something. You said something tonight about people not complaining, but this is what you get right as a post-election. People complain about a lot. They're complaining about when President Trump got in there, but a lot of them didn't even go to the poll. A lot of them didn't even go register. And we shared this, Pastor, you know, we shared this about men and women. If you think you had a felony so many years ago, certain states, you still can vote. It's
you as a person to look into it. If you're off of parole, you have finished your term of parole, you can vote. I don't care where you're at. Most people think just because you're a felon that you can't travel no more. If you're not on parole and your sentence has been finished, you can get a passport, you can vote, you can get your rights back in order. And next week here in Los Angeles, Compton, California, there is an expunging a rally going on. If you want to get your record clean, show up. I'll get the address for you. It's over here in Compton off of Palmer at Holy Spirit. I'll get the information out there. I'm going to post it. I know I put it on What's the Words page, but they're having an expungement party to come out. They got lawyers. They got DAs. They got district attorneys out there that if you had a misdemeanor, a e-felony, or anything not violent, you can get it off your record this weekend. Well, not
free?
This weekend.
Wow.
For free.
And that,
for free.
Free. Oh, yeah.
Free.
Don't forget to put free in there. Free. Yeah. You know, that's an opportunity. I mean, you know, that's a privilege to get your record if there's something on there. It's expunged, you know, free. Oh, yes. Glory be to God. That's something, Pastor Ian, you said it's on the page. We will share it. Amen.
Yes, definitely. And I've been expunged. God has sponged me. They run my record. They be like, we don't see that.
Hallelujah. Amen.
God has sponged me. But it's still for those out there that need legal terms. Come on out. Get in touch with me. We'll get you that information. Well, you see, we then almost cranked up another show in a show. And just say thank you for encouraging us. Thank you for motivating us and holding us accountable to getting our test lives together. But closing remarks from you.
The only closing remarks that I have is, again, please tune in on Friday. Let's talk about it with myself and Pastor E. And then I have one more Wednesday. I just have 11, 12, 13, and 14. So I'm doing four next week, but they're kind of a little short, but they're very powerful. So do not turn in, tune in, because you're going to need every ounce of information I give you on all these tests. Because, again, you never know which one you're going through. But I thank and praise God for the young lady who called in, and like she said, she didn't know if there was a broadcast. That is nothing but the power of God and the Holy Spirit. So, God, you have done exactly what you've always promised me that you would do, is make sure that my voice reaches at least one person to give them a life-changing situation. So I love you all, and thank you, and please have a great and fabulous evening.
Amen, amen. Now, this is the schedule for this series. We're going to close out next Wednesday, but then the following Wednesday, we're going to have an open discussion over the test, that we not just get in here and get it. We want to really get deep into this thing. We want to be effective on what we're doing and how we're growing. So we're not going to just rush through it. But then if you have a series in your heart and God has put something on you that you want, that's going to take more than 2 weeks to get it out, get in touch with me. We'll schedule you for the next series after the test series. But as I said, we still have two more weeks left. Pastor Valores will finish out with the test numbered out next week. And then the following week, we're going to come back and talk about each test together and make this thing really happen. But if you have a series in you, this is for you. Come on out. I'll let you get on here and do what God has called you to do. No more than 4 weeks. Amen.
Amen.
Love you guys. Know you're honored, loved, honored, and appreciated. But most of all, know you are beautifully made by God. And just look at yourself and know praise looks good on you.
In the name of Jesus. Come on, give us the glory. Give us the glory. Give us the glory. He's worthy in this place. He's worthy in this place. Come on and give us the glory. Hallelujah. He has provided so many things for us. Hallelujah. So many precious promises. Hallelujah. Glory to your name, Jesus.
When you lift your hands up high, sing a song of praise to me. It brings me great delight. Such a lovely sight.
And yes, it is true.
Praise looks good.
Your heart is
fine.